Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great morning out there. Happy Tuesday. We're going to get into some entertainment news in a little bit. We'll talk about our Halloween special coming up, Melissa.
Ooh.
Got that nicely done. We got all that coming up for you. But we're going to kick off the 9 o'clock hour the way we like to, local, everybody. Buying local, supporting local. That's what we're talking about here. We have on the air with us right now, Rebecca Mortensen. She is with AM Forestry, a new chamber member with our Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. When you become a new chamber member, you get to put up with me. No, you get to join us on the airwaves here a little bit and hang out with some. Let's get to meet Rebecca. How are you doing, Rebecca?
I am fantastic this morning. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for being here. Really do appreciate it. I want to dive right into this great business of yours because I spent the weekend going over it. My dad did a bit of this kind of work years and years ago and was really intrigued by your business. So before we dive into that, Rebecca, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from?
I am actually from Eagle, Wisconsin, where I lived for 46 years. It'll be 4 years that I've lived up here now. This is the halfway point between my children and my husband's children.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
I got to figure that out. My kids are a little spread out. I got to figure that out. That's a smart way to do that. So let's dive into AM Forestry. Where did this business come from? Where did this idea come from? And tell us about the business.
Well, I went on forcible retirement many years back due to some hernia issues. And I fell in love with my husband when I saw him basically in the middle of the woods with a chainsaw.
That old story. It's happened to all of us.
Tell you what I felt like at that moment. So, at that point, I wasn't sure what to do, and he wanted to move here. So I figured, what the heck? Let's open a business.
Why a tree removal? Why something like that? What brought you to that?
Well, seeing as I had never seen anyone be able to take down a tree to the extent of what my husband was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first year before we were open, it was just him and I taking down trees, which was a giant learning experience for me.
I can imagine.
It was terrifying at first, I'm not going to lie. Mm. And now when I see fear in customers' eyes, I said, he's got this.
So you've got somebody with some experience with this and going into this, but you want to start this business because you guys want to do this a little bit differently, more of an coexisting with our environment.
Indeed.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, we're trying to basically make sure that people's lives and homes are safe first and foremost. But with the oak wilt and then the emerald ash borer up here, we're trying to save everything that we can. Mm-hmm. My husband is very good at talking people out of cutting down trees, actually, at this point, just because of our love for trees. Mm-hmm. If they don't need to come down, we're going to tell you that they don't need to come down. Persistence, of course, with customers. We always aim to keep our customers happy, but we're trying to save the hardwood trees.
It's incredible. I think that's not only something that I appreciate, and I know our community does, but it's also a necessity. It's important to be able to do. Journalistically, I should mention that both Melissa and I are in a tree a text chat
We love trees.
Oh, we love trees around
that's good.
Here. So it couldn't have a more perfect set of interviewers for you.
Yeah,
right
here. We share pictures of trees.
I wish I was kidding. I'm not even joking.
I think that's fantastic. I've got about 4,000 pictures of trees right now on my phone. So.
Nice. Awesome. Right up.
You should join our group.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to.
It speaks to one of these things where we're not alone. Yeah, the three of us Laura's in that group. There's listeners out there that are in groups similar. We have this love of trees. And, I know maybe you learned about it in grade school, so you might have forgotten since then. We need trees.
Yeah.
Like, trees are incredibly important. to our way of life and our well-being. The idea of taking a tree down seems like the last case scenario, like break glass in case you need to.
Correct.
So if you can keep them around, being able to do so is incredibly vital. Now, you may look at your yard and think, well, okay, that tree looks okay, this tree doesn't, in looking at that. But having people that actually have a brain for this, have an eye for this, is really key. And that's where you guys come in.
Yeah, it absolutely. And if there's a situation where I'm on site and I don't have the answer, I'm just upfront with people. I'm very transparent. If they have a question and I don't know the answer, I will forward it right over to my husband to answer. So,
which is great. We need more of that out of business world, of being able to. We have a couple of different groups that join us on the air here, businesses, and they're very similar to that. Where
always ask the experts.
Yes.
Yeah. And if they don't know, they're going to hunt down that answer with you and for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to this, you mentioned that we were talking in our pregame a little bit. You guys have been at work quite a bit. You've done quite a few of these already, quite a few houses, it sounds like.
Yeah, we're approaching 200 people.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
Wow.
That's pretty good. That's impressive. When it comes to going down, and it's of course a case-by-case basis, but with a lot of the homes that you've gone to, have you been able to keep a lot of these trees around? Have you seen that? It seems like the way of doing it in the past is, okay, take the tree down. And now we're taking an approach of, well, do we have to take the tree down?
Well, in a lot of cases, if the whole tree doesn't have to come down, we won't take it down. Mm. There's always variables to every situation, of course, but we try to save as many as we possibly can. Yes, it is our job to, we are a tree removal service, but that doesn't mean that we're not trying to save everything that we can. So.
Mm. And Rebecca, before we wrap up and everything, you mentioned that this was kind of something that it happened organically. It wasn't something you were planning on. There,
absolutely,
it was a forced
not
kind
planning.
Of thing. Are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying the work? Are you?
I am enjoying the customer service aspect.
Nice.
Actually, good. From here, I'm going to meet a customer that we have had now officially for 2 years that I've never met.
Mm-hmm.
We've done jobs over at her home, and I'm going over there to have coffee and a snack with her this morning.
Nice.
So I'm very excited. We have a lot of really great people. So we're very fortunate in that manner.
This is one of the reasons why we promote so much. We want people to support local and buy local. It is the personal touch. It is the inner organic and natural conversations that can happen and everything that you don't get over the phone or you don't get with some businesses out there. This is why we encourage you to reach out to local. And certainly when it comes to a business that is looking at an industry differently, like you guys are, really do appreciate the approach to this. Becca, was there anything else you wanted to cover before we let you go today?
No.
I know it sounds like you got a lot, plenty to do.
I do have plenty to do. I just appreciate the opportunity. That's the whole purpose of me coming in today, is because I like to see people face to face.
Right on. And the door is wide open for you. The catch of doing a good job is now you have to come back. You're going to have to come back sometime.
Certainly.
Talk a little bit more, especially Melissa and I want to talk trees. We're going to bring you in.
Yeah. That would be great.
Rebecca, if people want to learn more about AM Forestry, they want to reach out to you guys, find out more about your services, how can they do that?
We are on Facebook. We are on Google My Business, on Yelp, Nextdoor, and then you can also, of course, email at amforestry2022@gmail.com, and then also you can call me or text me at 262-378-1398.
We'll make sure to get that information out there before the end of the hour. We'll get that out there one more time for you guys. But Rebecca, thank you so much. It was great meeting you.
Thank you.
Wishing you and the business very well, and we'll see you guys soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll be back with more show, everybody, coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. WFHR's Morning Show. Getting funky. I don't know. This music's all over the place. I love it. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Melissa and James here with you. We send a special shout out to Rebecca Mortensen of AM Forestry. That was really fun.
Yeah. It's so great to meet her.
Be sure to follow them on Facebook, everybody. Throw that into your search bar. AM Forestry, LLC. You can pop right up. We'll get you their information before the end of the hour, a little bit later. Let's dive into some entertainment news real quick, Melissa. And the band The Pretenders are in the news. Been around for quite some time, and they're a pretty darn good band, too.
Oh, yeah.
And if you go to more than one Pretenders show on their current tour, do not sit in the front row, because you might be moved.
Oh.
Chrissy Hyde, a famous lead singer for The Pretenders, explained why in an Instagram post. Quote, when we go out on tour, the whole point of it is for the band is that we are playing to a different audience every night. That's why we go on tour. We appreciate those of you who follow us and buy tickets for multiple nights. So please don't be offended if we request you to move out of the front row.
Ooh.
She added, quote, all we are asking is that you give the local fans a chance. This is what keeps it new for us, especially after being on tour for so many months. Well, and so many years. The Pretenders have been around, I want to say, since the 70s. Pretender fans are not feeling this. The comments are loading up, and a lot of people are getting mad about it. One person said, quote, if the locals wanted to be up front, maybe they would have waited as long as the loyal fans who follow the tour, consistently. Imagine being told as a fan, you just don't interest me anymore. Now, maybe she didn't word this the way that she may have wanted, or the intent wasn't there. But I don't know. I got to side with them on this one. I'm siding with her and the Pretenders on this one. You're not here without your fans. And you got to respect your fan base. You got to respect your core audience and everything. Mm-hmm. But the idea, if you're a true fan, I would think you would want other fans to have a similar experience than you've had in your hometown.
Right. I don't know. Are there that hardcore of fans and they have literally gobs of money and nothing else to do but follow a band around and sit in their front row for every show?
You know, like,
that blows me away.
I remember when I was a little kid, my uncle told me about the Grateful Dead. And then years and years later, my cousin Nicole, who is one of the smartest people in our family, was going to go to law school and all this, decided for a year to follow the Grateful Dead around instead of going to law school. It shook the foundation of our family, on my mom's side. And then I heard about all this where, there's these people sometimes, they just travel the Grateful Dead around and everything. And all I could think of is, well, I know why my cousin Nicole can do that, because she comes from money. I don't know anybody who could do that other than people that have a trust fund or something like that or whatever.
Exactly.
I think to what you're saying, if you're I don't mean this as an, I'm trying to find the most nice way to say this. I didn't know that there was that many diehard Pretender fans. Like, where you're, it's not so much they show up in your town and you're going to go see them. You're following them from town to town. If that exists that much. There's a lot of room up front. Like, why can't there make room for everybody?
Exactly. And you were right. They were formed in 1978, so they've been around a bit.
Almost been around as long as I've been alive. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, when it comes to that, too, this is a band, you've had your opportunity to see them many times up front. Let somebody else have some of that and everything.
Right. I mean, and live music, you never know what's going to happen. Live shows are like that. We both know that, being in theater. Mm-hmm. But still, wouldn't you want maybe a different view?
Well, and here's a story we covered on the Sunrise Show. You can check out from 7 to 8 Monday through Friday on 105.5 WIRI. I didn't intend to go into this one, but one of the stories we covered was Vince Gill and the Eagles. They currently have a residency at the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And he's one of the few people I've heard come out and say he's not a fan of it. He says, it's the most people I've ever been ignored by. you're playing and they're not looking at all the stuff on the ceiling. They're not even paying attention to you. He went on to, and this is the part that I wanted to get to. He went on to say, music to me has never been visual. A great show to me is watching Merle Haggard stand there singing me a great song. And after great song, that's what I go to concerts for, is to hear the music, not so much visual. Mm-hmm. And the Sphere kind of is the opposite of that, it seems, where a lot of people are going there and they want to see the show, but they're not really listening to the show. If you are talking about the Pretenders and talking about being the first row or being in the fifth row or the 10th row, you're still going to hear them.
Right.
You're hearing the same stuff as everybody else.
Do you need to be that close every time that you can watch them sweat? That's the show you get when you're in the front.
I don't know. There's another one that's going or making the rounds right here. I thought was kind of interesting. America's favorite celebrity chef. Do you have a favorite celebrity chef? A new survey of 2,000 people revealed who is America's favorite celebrity chef. Do we want to take some guesses, Melissa? I'm not looking at the list. I'm going to say Rachel Ray by far.
Okay.
I think by a landslide. I think she's way by far.
I mean, she's pretty awesome. Gordon Ramsay's obviously a very well-known one. I don't know if he's the most liked one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Bobby Flay.
I
would throw Guy Fieri up there.
Yeah, that's the one. I was trying to think. I couldn't think of it. I didn't have his last name. Guy Fieri's got to be way up. But what about the barefoot contestant lady?
What's her name? I'll look it up.
Ina? Something I want to say. It's something like that. Her. Maybe her name will pop up in the list when I look
name.
At it.
Her. Yeah. The lady.
I would like to apologize
Ina
to
Garten.
Her. Thank you. It is Ina. Okay. Let me see here who it is. And the poll revealed America's favorite celebrity chef is Gordon Ramsay at 40%.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Melissa.
40%.
Wow. And it was a landslide, but not who I thought it was him by a landslide over Rachel Ray at 31%.
Mm-hmm. She was number two.
Bobby Flay at number three with 28%. And oh, wait a minute. So Martha Stewart and Emeril Lagasse finish at number five. There's a tie there between those two at 26%. I would have gotten this really wrong. I was only half wrong with Rachel Ray being number two. I didn't think of Martha Stewart. I would have said she'd been number one. I'd have been wrong, but I would have said Martha Stewart, I'll be honest.
Well, I think is she still doing any kind of cooking show?
Yeah, I think of her as a businesswoman first, a crafter second probably, and then maybe a celebrity chef and all.
She was more in the celebrity chef realm in like the 90s, wasn't she?
Yeah. So,
I mean, she's still, there's so much that she also is doing, but I think her cooking show era was a ways back.
If you have not seen it, everybody, do yourself a favor. Look up Robin Williams and Martha Stewart cooking together.
Oh, my goodness. That was so funny.
They could barely get through anything. Like,
well, because Robin was being Robin, and Martha was trying so hard to keep it straight and on task and PC, because it's a family show. They were putting spices onto meat, and Martha asked Robin to rub the spices into the meat. I will let you go from there with your imaginations on what happened, or look it up. It's a delight.
I had to cut my mic. I'm laughing too hard. It's so good. I miss Robin Williams every day. I love that man more than maybe, other than his children and family members, more than anybody. And I would be the first to ask him in an interview, have you ever paid attention to where the actual medium you're on? Because it didn't matter if he was on a kid, if he was on the Muppet Show or something like that. He had no filter. He was just Robin.
You know, and the funny thing is, if you had asked them that question, he would probably say, oh, there's so many things I held back.
Right. Yeah, yes, yeah. The survey also found that Americans are willing to spend an average of $340 to eat a three-course meal prepared by one of these chefs.
$340. Wow. That's an investment.
I would think about it if it was going to charity. I would think about it then. And 48% have bought kitchen products that were endorsed by one of these popular chefs.
Yeah, I definitely would have also have seen that.
I love the trade in the background.
Mute my mic when they're sounding the horn, but it's kind of hard not to.
I appreciate that. Thank you for trying, but it's also kind of funny to have it go away. Who is your favorite celebrity chef? Everybody feel free to join the conversation, 715-424-2600.
There's a few that we didn't mention, like Paula Deen.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfgang Puck.
Wolfgang Puck. I forgot about that one. Yeah.
And of course Anthony Bourdain. I miss his show.
Now that's my guy. I read his books. I watched his TV shows, and I've never heard anybody talk about food the way Bourdain did. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's still my. I'm with you on him. He's another one that I miss all the time. If he was still alive, I wouldn't have said he was the America's favorite, but I would have said he was my favorite. Certainly.
Yeah.
I like Rachel Ray, but she. It's also I'm cheating because she's got the Italian blood, and a lot of what she says and does reminds me of my family. So there's that. Mm. There's some great ones. Let us know Absolutely. Who your favorite is.
Please do.
And keep in mind, everybody, we've got some fun things going on here, programming wise. We're looking forward to getting into, and we've been doing some fun stuff with our holidays and having some fun with that. And one of the things that we were working on, we've got pretty much all put together and ready to go this Thursday from 4 to 6. It's our WFHR Halloween special. We each took like kind of a classic Halloween poem or story or tale and read them. You've got Melissa and Laura and Seth and Beth and Pam, myself. We all have read one. Chuck read one.
Yeah.
We've got some other fun stuff that are going to go into it. We'll get into this more and more as the week goes on. But we're going to be doing that. And then, of course, on the morning show on Thursday, I got a bunch of Halloween topics for us that we'll dive into. We'll get into the history of Halloween a little bit. And we're going to be dressed up.
Yep.
It's going to be fun, everybody. We
costumes.
Can't
win.
Yes.
I got to pull mine out of the closet.
Costumes on radio.
Cutting edge.
Yes, it's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. And one of the other things we'll be doing, of course, is doing our job and informing you and keeping you up to date on important things like Halloween trick-or-treat times and Halloween events going on. We got our trick-or-treat hours right here. Wisconsin Rapids, Grand Rapids, Buren, Nakusa, Port Edwards, going to be going from 5 to 7.
Okay.
Vesper and the village township of Rudolph, 4:30 to 6:30.
All right.
And Pittsville, 4 to 8.
Okay.
I remember as a kid, we used to have this plan. We were going to go to this town, and then when it wrapped up there, we were going to go to the other town and get another extra hour of trick-or-treating. We never did that.
Well, because you never needed to. You already had a huge... pillowcase full of candy?
Absolutely, yeah.
But if you do want to do that and you want to travel as far as Neillsville, their trick-or-treating hours are 5:30 to 7:30.
There you go. Also, keep in mind, our great friends over at McMillan Memorial Library have a great event going on for Halloween.
You can come and show your costume off there, starting at 4:30, right?
Yeah, 4:30 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm. And then the Henry girls are playing at 7. I really hope I get down there to see them because they sound fantastic.
I would like to check that out. That would be great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really fun get. And talking to them over there, they were so excited about this. And this just happened to work out that this was the only day that the Henry girls could come by. They're going to have some fun with this too, having a Halloween show. And some amazing harmonies from them as well.
Well, and also a chance to hear Irish Halloween stories.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
they share folklore during their shows, and I can only imagine what fun stories you're going to hear.
Yeah, be sure to check out the trick-or-treating at McMillan Library from 4:30 to 7:30, and stick around because from 7 to 9, you'll have the Henry sisters over there at their Fine Arts Center. And our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, were just in yesterday talking about they're hosting a Nightmare Before Christmas party to benefit those in need at Christmas time.
Awesome. Oh, good.
A giving tree will be set up at the lodge with tags for suggested gifts. There will be games, food, costumes encouraged. However, this is a family-friendly event. Bring the kids one last use of those costumes and fun, no charge. And this is going on Saturday, November 2nd, so hang on to those costumes, kids.
Yeah, you can wear them Thursday, and then you can put them on again Friday for this family fun event.
It's pretty cool. That'll be going from 5 to 7, November 2nd, over at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
Did I say Friday? I meant Saturday.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be a fun event Saturday. And before we wrap up, did want to mention that the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department would like to give public notice that the South Wood County and North Wood County Park campgrounds are going to be closed for the season starting on Halloween.
Yes, on Thursday. They will close down for the season.
Now, the Dexter County Campground will remain open until December 2nd. The second and third loops will remain open during that time and will be available for camping by reservation only.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that
they will
mind.
Also keep their heated shower open there at Dexter until December 2nd, which, you know, when you're camping in the winter, that's a real bonus.
That sounds like that sounds like a really good idea. help keep our parks and our forestry area in good shape. Everybody take good care of them. Treat it like it's your own, because it is. And find out more at our co.wood.wi.us. You can go to the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department that way. Throw it into your search bar and find it as well, and follow them on Facebook.
And then you can book up to a year in advance for any camping reservations right there on their online reservation portal.
We will take a quick time out, check in with our news and our sports and our partners, and we'll come back and get into some more fun. Got a good one for us coming up here, Melissa. Norway banning young people from social media. I want to talk about that with you.
Interesting.
Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Ooh, hadn't played this one.
Is this like X-Files?
It's Halloween. It's the Halloween theme song, I think. Yeah, it's the theme to Halloween, yes. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you are having a good one out there. Happy Tuesday to you. I've been waiting to get into this one, and I thought it was quite interesting. I wanted to do some homework on it beforehand and actually let the story breathe a little bit, something we don't do. We don't have a chance to do always in news. Today is Internet Day. As far as our national day of calendar, and I thought that this would be fitting to do for today. Everyone has their feelings about the internet, about social media, good, bad. You know, you're going to hear different takes on it, no matter who you talk to. But this is a different approach, I would say. Norway has announced a new ban on young people on social media. Supposedly, they will, quote, enforce a strict minimum age limit of 15. Because tech companies are, quote, pitting against small children's brains.
Yeah.
And these are all quotes. It's not my, these are just quotes I'm reading from the article. From the Norway Prime Minister. Norway's Prime Minister admits that it'll be, quote, an uphill battle, but said politicians must protect children from the, quote, power of the algorithms.
Mm-hmm.
Norway already had a minimum age of 13, which is aligned with the existing minimum age requirements on many social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. But none of that is working. Norway says despite this, more than half of 9-year-olds in Norway, 58% of 10-year-olds, and 72% of 11-year-olds are on social media. The government says they're considering several ways to enforce it that, quote, don't intervene with human rights, like tighter age verification barriers. For example, they could require a bank account, which would be tied to an official age.
Okay.
So that latter part, I feel like the only reason we companies haven't been doing that already is because they really don't truly care about young people being on their sites. If they did, I've never heard of that before. If you're under 15, you ain't got a bank account. I mean, that seems like a smarter way to verify age. I think the verify age things are necessary, and they may not do a great job, but they are better than nothing. But I will admit right away out the gate, I am a fan of people taking care of things on their own, and if we don't need the government, let's not bother them. Let's do this on our own. I would love to be able to say, well, as parents, we have our kids. We're going to keep an eye on them and everything. Well, as a parent, I also know that is nearly impossible. You can do your best and be the most, in-tune parent, father, mother of the year, and still not catch everything your kid is doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the internet is such it's like the Wild West out there. There's a lot going on and not a lot of I don't know. I mean, there are safeguards. There are things that you can do as a parent to set up, programs on phones or things to track where kids go. But I don't understand any of that because I'm not a parent. But it's a Wild West.
Yeah, and you can understand, even not being a parent, you can understand the fear. You can understand the concern and everything, and
I'm
respect
scared for myself online, and I'm not a teenager.
Same here. Yeah, and I haven't had to fill out one of those age verification things in a long time. But I get a little.
But there's no check. There's absolutely no check. So you go to, for instance, the only one that I've ever run across on it is like a site that sells alcohol. So, you go to jackdaniels.com or whatever their website is, it asks you to enter your birth date.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
What's the verification on that? You just have to enter something that's 21 years ago.
Right.
There's no absolute like check to say, oh, is that actually you?
I would like to see a little more being put on the businesses to do a better job, and to the tech industry to do a better job of coming up with a better age verification system. Than getting, I would like that to be the first step, and you know the last step being banning things. I am not. I maybe this is a little bit of my creed. Maybe this is just me and the way I feel about these things. But anytime I hear the word ban, I'm a little bit hesitant. I don't care what it is. I get a little bit hesitant. There's certain things, obviously, that we all agree should be banned or what have you. Mm-hmm. But anything like this that's in a bit of a gray area, it does get me concerned.
Well, because go ahead.
Just real quick, one of the things that you will note, any of you that can remember being a teenager, what's one of the things that you don't do to a teenager? You tell them no, or you tell them not to do something. This is going to make them want to do it even more. Right. And I are we just kicking the can here? Because how many people out there did something that they shouldn't have done at a certain age? You know, and you could fill in the blanks on that one.
Pretty sure every hand's going up.
Everybody's raising their hand on that one.
Right.
So I want us to, is this just kind of like, hey, we got to do something. Let's just do this. And it looks like we're doing something kind of thing, busy work. Or are we actually coming up with solutions? Because banning something, that should be the last thing we do. Mm-hmm. And if we can't do anything else. But if we can, we're not working through solutions enough. We're so quick to ban things. We're so quick to say, to just shut down the other side and not even hear them out. I get angry when I hear people, you know, that don't care about certain isms that are around. They don't care about sexism. They don't care about racism. They don't care about anti-Semitism because it doesn't affect them, because they don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. That upsets me. You say, hey, you're a human being too. You should care about this as much as I do, even if it doesn't affect you and all that. But I can't ask them to hear me out and listen if I'm not going to be able to do that, if I'm not willing to listen. And I want to listen, I want to hear, I want to work on solutions, not so quick to just shun, just ban people or just cancel people or any of this. Let's try to figure things out together more. And if we have to, then we ban something, then we get rid of this or something. We need more a solution work than just, you know what? What's the easiest thing to do? Ban it. Just ban it. Social media, ban it. Well, social media does a heck of a lot of good too. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't talk about it nearly enough, but it does.
Anytime we're talking about taking away access to knowledge, taking away access to, you know, public libraries or to websites that are beneficial to young people learning about the world around them, the world that they are not exposed to in their little microcosm of life. Because let's be real, there are areas of our United States where there is not access to these things, and it's a very big conundrum. Because like you said, anytime that we're just going straight to a ban of something, that doesn't solve the societal issue.
And if you want to ban this, you can do it. Like, again, I will come back to, I am all about democracy. Democracy is one of the most beautiful things that human beings have come up with, except in the House. Mom and Dad, you're dictators. You go right ahead and dictate. I mean, obviously, I'm being exaggerate and joking and everything, but
it's your household. You make the decisions.
If you want to ban social media, ban social media. You don't need the government to do it. Go for it.
Don't let your child have a phone. Don't let them have access to social media.
Yeah.
It's your choice.
It's your choice. You run things in that house. Go ahead and run things. I worry as well whenever we ban. Now, there's a lot of people that like to use the term slippery slope, and they misuse it all the time. This is a true situation where it could be a slippery slope, because you ban one social media app or you ban all social media apps. Well, guess what? There's going to be new apps. There's going to be more things to pop up. And what do you look at? Like, a lot of people use Facebook for its marketplace. A lot of people use Facebook for its business. There are people that I know that don't even have a personal profile page. They just have it for businesses. Well, if I'm just trying to promote my business, I don't care about social media. I'm just using Facebook or Instagram as free advertising. Am I going to be banned from getting my advertisements out there? And all of this comes down to protecting kids. And when it comes to protecting kids, that's on us as parents. That's on us as adults.
That's on us to have conversations with them and help educate them on the dangers of social media, on the mental health effects of spending too much time on screens in general. I mean, we could talk about that because that is becoming more and more of an issue as we are constantly surrounded by screens.
One of the best things you can do as a parent is instead of just saying, you're not doing that anymore, hey, this is why we're not letting you do this anymore. Not just
kids are smart.
Explain it to them. Talk to them. Have a conversation with them. And it can go a lot farther than just taking something away. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to that, any chance for more conversation is just better. And you're keeping them off social media that way.
Because you're actually having a conversation.
Yeah. Another thing you could do if you really want to get your kids off social media, start a Facebook page. Start an Instagram page. Start a TikTok page.
Like everything they post.
Everything they
and
do.
Comment on it.
Everything. You keep up with them. You can keep up with what they're doing. It'll drive them crazy. It'll take, they may even not be on the app anymore. we are going to get to a couple of other things before we wrap up here today. But I did want to send a special shout out to our great friends over at Family Natural Foods. Of course, join us on these airwaves all the time. Katrina Hintner was just in co-hosting with us last Monday. Yeah. We had the gang. We had Steven in yesterday talking about the curling club.
Ooh, nice.
We love supporting our local and supporting our good friends over there, and they support us here as well. And we encourage you to check out their panel discussion and health talk going on tonight. At 5:15, come on, bring your questions to Family Natural Foods. They got an expert panel up there of people, and they got just a hodgepodge of questions. If you're thinking it, go ahead and bring it to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are there at 910 West Grand Avenue, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. You can find out more at their Facebook page or Instagram page. Encourage you to like and subscribe to those. And, of course, go to familynaturalfood.com, and you can find out more as well. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a fun conversation, and this is going to be an opportunity for you to, you know, they have a lot of these panel discussions, but they tend to be focused on certain topics. This one, hey, you got a question, and it's about a random topic. This is a perfect time to bring it to them.
Mm-hmm. And we always have questions about, well, you know, like what's the best defense as we are entering the cold and flu season? You know, they'll have answers for you.
And they have such a wide range of great brains and knowledge over there there's just a ton of different things you could ask about, and they're going to be able to cover it. And if they can't, they'll look it up with you. They'll figure it out together.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Or they'll, you know, send you to an expert.
Join our friends over at Family Natural Foods tonight from starting at 5:15. This will kick off. Head on over there to 910 West Grand Avenue right here in Wisconsin Rapids and join them for their panel discussion and health talk going on tonight.
All right.
We will take a time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange?
Come with us and you will see. It's our town of Halloween.
It's hard not to sing along.
You cannot. There's so many songs. I'm not even a musical guy. There's so many of these that I can't help sing along to. We appreciate you joining us. Melissa and I will take you right to the top of the hour. I want to encourage you to stick around because we've got Matt and Air on Air coming up.
All right.
Join Jane and Greg from 10 to noon. Doing a great, great job over there.
So much great information that they're bringing to our listeners.
They do such a great job of keeping you informed while also having a lot of fun, trying to take you know, some of this as light as you can while laughing through some of these things.
Because if we can't, you know, if don't cry, can't cry, so we might as well laugh.
Yep. Speaking of Halloween, we got to go to this story real quick, Melissa. Halloween decorations were ruined by three black bears. A North Carolina woman's doorbell camera captured video of a trio of black bear cubs making a meal out of her family's Halloween pumpkins in Amazon packages.
Oh, no.
The video shows what unfolded when three young Bruins approached Aaron Chester's front door in Asheville. The bears tore through Chester's Amazon packages before turning their attention to the pumpkins. Two of the bears wrestled for ownership of a pumpkin, while the third bear enjoyed another gourd by itself.
Nice.
The video ends with one of the bears carrying the remaining pumpkin away as a snack. Just
food to go.
Yeah. It's a great story. It's a great one. Check it out if you get a chance at upi.com. A shout out to them for the great reporting on that. That's a fun one. There's a couple of these out there. There is a lady here who broke a record for. We're going to get into it tomorrow, but eating rice with chopsticks.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
It's challenging.
I can only imagine. We want to send a special shout out to Rebecca Mortensen from AM Forestry from joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a lot of fun. Appreciate Rebecca joining us. Find out more about them, everybody, by going to their Facebook page. Just type into your search bar, AM Forestry, like their page that way. Keep in mind, you can give them a call at 262-378-1398, 378-1398.
If you have tree questions, contact them.
They're doing a great thing with this tree removal where they're working to coexist with our environment while also taking care of your and keeping everybody safe.
And it would make more sense to call them because they're the tree experts. James and I are just fans.
Yeah,
we're
just fans,
big fans of trees. We're big fans. But they can definitely help you.
If there's a cool tree in your yard, you want to share the picture of it with us. We're the ones to send it to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That for sure. But otherwise, reach out to Rebecca and her team. They got some great people over there. You can find them at 322 County Road G in Nakusa. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, we got a great lineup for you this afternoon. We continue our series of interviewing our candidates. And today, we are going to have on at 4 o'clock Colin McNamara. He is a candidate for Wisconsin Senate District number 24.
Nice.
Keep in mind, with all of these, we have Representative Krug joining us at the end of the week as well. With all of these interviews, we're giving every candidate equal amount of time and the same questions. There will be no follow-up questions. Just the same way WFHR has done this for 80-plus years.
Mm-hmm. And then after the interviews have all been completed, there will be articles published about these as well. And with that, it'll include links to the podcast if you miss the interview itself.
Be on the lookout for that, everybody, at our website, WFHR.com. And while you're there, sign up for the newsletter.
Absolutely, because then it'll come right to your inbox.
At 4:30 today, we're talking 4-H with UW-Madison Extension. We have Laura Huber and Olga Menza joining us.
Nice.
Really looking forward to that. It's going to be really
always
fun.
Always fun to talk about 4-H.
Yeah. And those two are just a bundle of energy. It's going to be a great time. Looking forward to it. A little bit later today at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Badgers are off to a strong start this season. Hear what we have to say about the team at 7:05 with the Wisconsin Hockey Hour.
All right. Hockey.
Looking forward to that. Tomorrow, we're going to have a great one for you. Not only will we have Terry Johns in with us from the CEO of the United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties, but during Midday Magazine, we've got the U.S. Air Force Band coming on with us. Sergeant Tyler is going to be with us.
Oh, good. Are they going to talk about the concert that's on, I want to say, November 10th?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then at 4:30 tomorrow, we'll talk with Wood County Clerk Trent Miner. We're going to preview the election coming up.
Excellent.
Always love talking with Trent. Mm-hmm. Going on today, the orchestra Halloween concert happening at Lincoln High School.
Whoop, whoop.
6 o'clock today, head on over there and enjoy the orchestra Halloween concert. Support these kids, support local, and support the arts, everybody.
Mm-hmm. And you'll hear some fun music.
And you can also be a part of the great things going on with that as well by finding out more at our just throwing into your search bar the Lincoln High School website. Mm-hmm. My computer froze on me.
Yeah, you can also follow them on Facebook. Their Facebook page is a good follow as well.
Keep in mind that panel discussion going on today over at Family Natural Foods and 910 West Grand Avenue right in Wisconsin Rapids. You can go there today at 5:15. Bring all of your health questions. They'd love to answer them. Head on over there. Buy local, support local. Support our friends at Family Natural Foods with their panel discussion and health talk going on today at 5:15 and 910 West Grand Avenue right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm. You might want to get over there early so you can do some shopping first.
A couple's pet tortoise went missing in Oklahoma more than 2 months ago and was just found 100 feet from their home.
He went on a journey.
Yeah, volunteers had helped search for him and even used drones, but with no luck. But they eventually ended up finding the little guy. That's pretty cool.
That is cute.
A couple in England met while working at a grocery store back in 2017 and just went back to the store to have their wedding photos taken.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
She trained him when he got hired and showed him how to stock chips on the shelf. So they snapped a pic in the same aisle where random people were there shopping. And they're all in their wedding gown gift and everything.
Funny. I love it.
As a foolish romantic, I will endorse things like that every time. That is fantastic.
Especially when you meet someplace like, a grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
great. Gas station.
It's a fun one.
You know.
My brother and his wife did a similar, when he proposed to her, they did a similar thing. It was a, they started, basically realized they liked each other. It was on the side of the road between here and Appleton. And so Nick, just randomly stopped there. It was pouring rain out. He didn't plan for that. But he proposed to her right there. That's the Maloff spirit, right? That's the Maloff romantic bloodline. That's a
hopeless romantic.
Yep.
To their detriment.
Yes. And in case you missed it, an elementary school in Central Missouri recently renamed its building after their longtime custodian.
Oh, I saw this story. It's so wonderful.
Her name is Claudine Wilson. She worked there for over 30 years. Everyone loved her, so the school decided to honor her after she retired in July. The main building is now called the Claudine Wilson Learning Center.
And she's so abashed about it, too. She's just like, I don't need to be having a building named after me. Like, I just love these kids.
Not at all to be morbid or anything, but usually these things happen when somebody passes. I'm glad that she's able to appreciate and take this in and everything.
And know how much they appreciate her and for all the work and heart and soul that she has poured into that school.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you, Melissa. Great show.
Yeah, you too, James.
Great work, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with more show tomorrow right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.